Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Welcome to Kill Me Now! We're on Kill Me Now in the studio. And I love our guest today.
Me too. I love you more.
You know, Kill Me Now is stars, the host, Judy Gold. Creator, Judy Gold. And there's also another person who's here, who's sometimes on VP, voice probation, but today he's not. Ladies and gentlemen, Lauren Hennessy.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
But thank our you. Guest today, our guest today is an old friend of mine. I mean, he's
Absolutely.
Not old.
Well, no, not
You're
old.
You're pretty old.
But I'm pretty old.
Yeah.
But we are old friends.
Yes, and that voice is still,
right?
I could totally vibrate to that voice. Ladies and gentlemen, and also a host on Play.Shit.
That's right.
Yes.
I like that.
CBS Play.Shit. Chuck Nice is here.
Yes.
Woo! Now,
You two are
okay.
Hilarious. I love it.
Yeah. Now, Chuck, that voice is like a fucking... And I'm a lezzy. And I could vibrate to that.
Nice. Well, I'm happy. I mean, that makes me feel good.
Just go ahead and sit on top of your speaker. Turn up the bass.
Turn it up. You know, but you know what it is? Is I went back to smoking.
So that's
great, Chuck.
Yeah, tell me about it. How fucked
that's
up is that?
So
you got
good.
That nice.
This is nothing more than a diner waitress voice.
Kathleen Turner.
That's
can
it.
Can I have some coffee?
Exactly. What do you want, doll? What can I get you, doll?
Now, Chuck, I've known you for a very long time.
Yeah.
And
like 99 is when we met, or 2000, one or the other. 99.
Yes. And I had been doing stand up already for over 15 years at that point. So
wow.
Yeah, I'm an old person. I've been doing stand-up
since didn't know that.
I'm 18 or 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Now,
you poor thing.
I know.
Oh, my God.
And here we are on Play Dot Shit. I mean,
fun
but
fact.
But you know what? You go ahead.
Both of you started stand-up on a dare.
Yes, I know.
That
yes,
is
I know
true.
That.
I didn't know that about you, Judy.
Yes, it was Secret Santas. I think I was a freshman in college? I was a sophomore in college.
Right.
And we had like Secret Santas, and my Secret Santa dared me to do stand up in the lounge.
Nice.
Yes. But you worked at a toy company.
Yes, I did.
And one of your office workers,
Joan
said, you should do stand up after your job was eliminated.
Yeah, so we were going to be...
But you said only if everyone in the office comes.
Everybody in the office has to come or I'm not going.
What if someone had like a death in the family or illness? Would you have...
I would have told everybody else to blame that person for having weak DNA so that somebody in their family died so I couldn't go on stage.
So you were thinking of an out, but everyone came. Even the guy that fired you?
Well, I wasn't fired.
Or eliminated you?
No, he was my mentor and still is to this day, like a second dad to me. My dad is dead, but Jerry.
Mine too. I have no parents. Yay!
Here's being an orphan.
And I had a horrible dream about my mother last night.
No way.
It was. All right. So this. All right. So I'm in a comedy club.
Was she yelling at you?
No, she was. She comes back alive.
Okay.
And I'm like. I have these about my father too, where the recurring one about my father is that he comes back and he faked his death and he just had another family, right? Okay, and then he comes back to reunite with my mother, but now my mother's dead, so now I have my mother. We're at some comedy club. She's there. She's like passes out. I think it's like a combination Hillary Clinton, my mother. So she passes out.
Right.
And she's like on the floor. And I'm like, wait, you've been dead. And I did my process of grieving and I'm okay with everything.
Right.
And now you're back. And she's in a really bad mood and she's like, you know, like in just and I'm like, oh, my God, now I have to deal with this. So
not welcome back.
People always ask me about her, you know, like, can you do right. your mother? And I remembered your mother. And I don't know. Or it's still and I think it's a combo of Hillary Clinton.
She's still giving you material.
That's true. So so who is the mentor, the father figure?
Jerry Steinberg is a. Was a father figure to me.
Jerry Steinberg is a...
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh,
wait.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Anytime we mention a Jew...
Wait, don't tell me. You have a Jew whistle?
Yes.
Okay, so Jerry Steinberg...
A Jwistle.
Okay,
a Jwistle.
So...
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, Jerry was a very influential guy in my life.
Who was he?
He was my boss, but took an interest. is that the double whistle for being
well,
the boss?
Well, because he's the boss.
Yeah.
All right.
And, you know, but we became close. I used to go to synagogue with him before work in the morning. You know.
That gets a big one.
Adopted Jew.
Uh-huh.
Hapai Jew.
So, yeah. You know what I mean? And, you know, go to Seder, the whole deal.
Oh, my.
His mother died. I sat Shiva with him. So.
I've never seen her.
I mean, that's good.
This
we
excited.
Got Seder, Shiva, and going to Minion in the morning.
So, you know, we used to hang out together. He would take me to basketball games. We would go to golf outings. The funniest thing that ever happened with me and Jerry. We're going to Maersk Lines is a shipping line, the container line that we use to bring our goods from the Far East, okay? And so they used to give these golf outings, and they would invite all the influential people that were clients. And so, you know, I got an invitation, and Jerry was going. And so we're in the car, and we're driving to this country club. And he goes, Charles, you know this place we're going. It's a restricted club. Do you know what that means? And I'm like, well, I suppose it means that they limit the number of people that can. He goes, no, it means no blacks and no Jews. That's what it means. Now
you were going into war,
right? And then he goes like
you
this.
Have no idea.
He goes, if I don't tell him my last name, I'm fine. I don't know what the fuck you're gonna do.
That's hilarious. You know,
but that's the kind of guy he was. He was a really cool dude.
What did you do? Know, what did you do?
I was the at the golf outing.
Yeah.
Oh God, I actually showed up and said my name was Chuck Steinberg.
No way.
Yes, I did. I was like, if you're gonna be pissed, I'm gonna piss you off doubly.
I love
it. I'm gonna really piss you off.
Good.
You
good
know,
job.
Obama is most likely going to join the Jewish country club in Washington.
Hawaiian.
The Jewish golf club.
Really?
Yes.
That makes sense, though.
Right.
That makes sense.
You know,
Obamala.
Obamala. Boobala.
Hey,
whatever.
That's not bad.
Chuck, you grew up, you have another name, it's Charles Fields.
Yes.
Charles Fields. But you grew up in Mount Airy and all I think of is the Mount Airy Lodge.
Yeah, that's the Poconos.
Right.
So I was right outside of Philadelphia.
It's not the Mount Airy Lodge?
No, not beautiful Mount Airy Lodge, unfortunately. And that's what everybody thinks when you say Mount Airy.
I know, Mount Airy. I thought it was. So you're outside Philly. There's nothing, I cannot find anything about your childhood. Was it normal?
Yeah, it was painful and normal. So I had
Well, hello, comedian.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, I had a very normal childhood. We moved to, an all-white neighborhood. And that's what I remember most about my childhood was that I was actually born in West Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
born and raised on the playground.
I wasn't even gonna.
Yeah, there you go.
I wasn't even.
Then don't, VP. No.
I didn't. He didn't give me a chance.
But no. I remember being like 5 years old and hating my existence because I knew that something was wrong. There was, you know, everybody was working class, but they were working poor.
Right.
You know, they were the working poor.
Blue collar.
Very blue collar, and, you know, but there was a lot of strife.
Right.
You know, and there was a lot of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
Probably a lot of drinking.
Well, not in my family. Nobody drank, you know.
I just meant the community. All
okay. Who's the host
I'm on
here?
VP. I already knew that I wish I could take it back. I'm really sorry.
Parents. What did your parents do?
He's such a good storyteller.
I'm sure there was a lot of drinking, though, but I wasn't exposed to it. But you could tell that there were definitely a lot of social ills. And you had a lot of kids. Like, fighting was the thing. You had to fight.
Right.
Okay. And so, like, every day, and I didn't want to fight. I never wanted to fight anybody. And so as a result, everyone beat my ass.
Right.
Because
you didn't fight back.
I didn't fight. I was just like,
what
no.
What were they fighting? Because you were black?
No. Just now, this is before we moved to the all-white neighborhood.
All right. This is West.
So this is West Philadelphia. It's all-black neighborhood. And every day I'd go to school, I would get into a fight.
Right.
Everybody wanted to fight. And I didn't want to fight. And so one day, I'll never forget, I would run home. And one day, my mom locked the door. And she moved the curtain and left me, and the kids who were beating me up saw that my mom, and they were like, "Oh, your mom knocked you out of the house. Oh, we're gonna kick your ass now," right? And
frightening as fuck.
It is frightening.
I'm the one who reacts, okay?
Sorry.
And the more you look at Lauren, the less, you know, the more he's going to start.
I'm not looking at him. I'm not even looking at him.
Go, go, go.
So anyway, it was the first time I ever fought back, and I won because
she forced you to.
She forced me to fight.
Right.
And I felt
good
as though these kids were going to kill me because now I have no recourse.
Right, right, right.
I have nothing to fall back on. And I remember we had a loose railing or in the banister, and I pulled it off. And I whacked one of the kids with it.
Yeah, baby! And
then I whacked the other kid with it. And they started running, and I started chasing them. And all the other kids.
The adrenaline was.
Yeah, I was so amped up. I've never been more amped.
Right.
I'm chasing them. The one kid falls. I jump on him. I start whacking him with the thing. Somebody pulls me off of him. Nobody ever fucked with me after that. They were like, oh, Chuck's crazy.
Right,
Chuck
right.
snapped. Right. But I never, even still, I just never felt safe. And my parents looked at me, and you know, my father was a business person. He owned his own business. Mm-hmm. And my mother, at the time, she was working for a federal judge. Mm-hmm. And both of them were like, we have to get out of this neighborhood.
What, did you have any siblings?
Yeah, I had one younger sibling at the time.
What?
Sister.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and but, you know, she was the belle of the ball. Everybody right. loved her, you
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
So she actually was scarred when we moved. I loved it.
Right.
We moved to a lovely neighborhood. I went to this lovely school. Nobody ever, I never got into a fight. Nobody ever asked me to fight.
Right.
I had met my first white friends in my life.
Right.
And I hate to say this, you know, I thought to myself, I really like white people. They do not hit me.
Right.
And that was it. So, you know, but then.
But then.
But then I actually discovered racism. Because
what?
Yeah, like you
wait
know.
A minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's stop.
So
racism.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about
I
it.
I have not heard. Yes, wait, what is, exactly is that?
It's a weird, weird thing.
Wait. You discovered it from the white.
From the white, right. So that I went from, you know, this, you know, untenable situation where violence was very much part of my life,
right.
which I hated.
Right.
To this situation where the funny thing was the kids weren't racist.
Right.
Their parents were.
Right. Of course.
And, you know. And then slowly but surely, everyone moved out of the neighborhood.
Right.
We were the first black family. And then by the time I got to high school, it was pretty much a black neighborhood.
Wow.
Whoa.
You know, but the thing was, it was all people just like my parents who had moved from another neighborhood where they were looking for a better life
right.
for their kids. And so it was still.
And what's
really,
the neighborhood like now?
It's pretty much the same. It's all the same people who lived there when I was a kid. It's
right.
just that all their kids are gone. It's literally a retirement.
Right.
It's a retirement community at this point. It's all the people that I grew up with, and
right.
they all just still in their homes, and there's just no children.
Right.
So it'll probably change over in the next few years or
right.
so. Because it's all grandparents and
right.
no kids.
Right. Do your
kids
parents still back? Well, your father's dead.
My
is
father's
your mother
dead. My
alive?
Mother's still alive. She still lives in the neighborhood.
Wow.
Yeah, you know.
And what
so.
About your sister?
My sister lives in Jersey now. You know, she moved away to Jersey from my mom. And my brother is still, you know, in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and
that's
I moved,
a very
I moved
nice
here. But, you know, that was, you know, the fact that, you know, the pain of my childhood came from family strife.
Of course, right.
You know what I mean? It's
right.
like my parents didn't get along, but they stayed together for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Bad, bad scene.
Mm-hmm.
Always a bad scene.
Right.
And you know,
damn.
I'll never forget when they said we're getting divorced, and the three of us, they
were like
they,
jumping for joy.
Oh, we were like, thank you. Oh, finally.
Wow.
Somebody. Oh, this
right.
is amazing. And we congratulated
them. How old
them.
Were you?
I was 20-something.
Right.
And literally, I
what
said.
What did they do? What was their reaction?
They were flabbergasted. And they were pissed.
Oh, right. yeah.
Because they were like, you do realize that we have made this decision to stay together for you guys.
Right.
And I remember saying to them, you guys shouldn't have done that. Like, and I'll never forget this because we were all at lunch together. And my father said, you know, we stayed together for you guys. And we wanted to make sure that you grew up
thank
in a home.
Thank you so much.
Right. And I went
wait,
like,
are either of your siblings?
Both of them were there.
No, are they married?
Yeah, she's divorced.
Okay.
Yeah, my brother never got married.
Right, gay.
And I'm not sure if he's gay, but he probably is.
Yeah, I need to just, you bring him here.
Yeah. Well, you'll figure it out.
We'll figure
you'll
it out.
You'll figure it out.
So your father said what? I'm sorry.
I just thought he never got married because he just, like, they had such a terrible marriage.
Right.
That he was like, I'm not about it. And my sister is divorced.
Right.
You know, and I happened to marry a saint who basically saw, like, you're a really good guy with a lot of fucked up problems.
Right, right.
Wow.
And so, you know, she stayed with me for 18 years, and now I'm actually a really good husband.
Right.
You know, I mean, but I was awful for many, many years.
Yeah.
But I told my dad, I said, you shouldn't have done that. You do realize that you
yeah.
probably did more damage to us staying together than you would have if you had gone apart.
Right.
And he was like, you guys are the most ungrateful children.
Oh, my God.
And
you are
he
the
killed
most
himself.
Ungrateful little fucks I have ever met
oh,
in my
hilarious.
Entire life, you know. But, you know, that's where, and to this day, I don't do a lot of, like, I have maybe an hour of family material that I don't do because, you know, when my mother hopefully for won't be for quite some time, but she has cancer right now.
I'm sorry about that. What kind?
She has bone cancer.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So painful. It's,
Is she
getting stoned?
Henny was just telling me about RSO oil?
Yeah, Rick Simpson oil.
Rick Simpson oil. And I'm very interested in that because they put my mom on Oxy.
Oh, no. You got to get the cannabis.
Yeah. And so
or
it's
as my therapist says, cannabis.
Cannabis.
Yes.
Yes. But which makes sense because they actually are called cannabinoid receptors that are in your brain that actually latch
CB1,
you on.
CB1, CB2.
There you go, baby.
All right.
So, you know, but it's funny because.
How old is she?
She's 75.
Oh my God, she's so young.
Yeah, for this.
That is really young. Yeah.
And she's a young person.
Right.
Like, my mom's like one of these strong, like, fuck you type people.
Right.
Like, you know, my earliest memories of my mother is, you don't tell me what to do.
Right.
Like, that's my mom.
You know? My mother used to say, I'd be like, you have to do, you know, you have to pick me up. I don't have to do anything.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I might use that one. I haven't used that on the kids.
Exactly. That
I only
and
have a few more years left.
I think you've forgotten who the parent is here. Maybe you've forgotten who the parent is here. I can get you a mirror and you can figure it out. So
funny.
You know, but
So did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to Pitt.
Penn?
Pitt.
Oh, Pitt, yeah. University of Pittsburgh.
I wish I went to Penn. I wasn't
so
that smart.
You went to Pitt, and what did you study?
I studied business and computer science as a dual major.
Right.
When I got out of school, that's where I met Jerry.
Right.
I got a job immediately.
Jerry what?
Jerry Steinberg.
Yeah.
And love that. I just love that. And I got a job right away at a Toys R Us. And Jerry,
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, exactly. And he met me, and you know, we had these conversations. You know, I was a store manager, just because my mom told me I had to get a job right away.
No interest in the arts or performing, or
I always had an interest in performing.
Right.
Always, if I have to be honest, from my earliest memories, maybe from about 6-7 years old,
right.
I was always in productions at school.
Right.
I was always the public speaker.
Right.
I was the class president.
Right.
I was always asked to give, like, if I were representing the grade,
I was
one who read whatever.
Right.
Loved it.
Humble
brag. My mother told me that entertainers were people of little moral fiber.
Well, she's not wrong.
That was an opening for me.
I'm really sorry.
You're really on my nerves today.
You are my mentor. Aren't you proud?
No, because you're annoying. So if that must mean I'm really annoying.
No.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I felt as though because my dad was a business person that it was my actual duty to go into business and, you know, stuff like that.
So you do this stand-up gig.
Yeah.
And you meet this guy, Lee Morgan.
How do you find all this stuff?
Because I'm a Jew!
Whistle! Yes.
And Lee and you, and I don't... He was a stand-up.
Lee was a stand-up comic. My very first time on stage was at the Comedy Works in Philadelphia Chestnut Street.
Yes, very nice area.
Yeah, so
I did New Year's Eve there. I did some. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a great club.
And now they have Helium, right?
Yeah, they have Helium. The people at Helium don't hire me.
Me neither!
All right, good.
Yeah,
then it's not
bitches!
Just me.
Yes!
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't get it.
Are you over 40?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So is that
I don't know. I mean, for me, I could think of numerous but I do think it's an age thing with me.
Because it's ridiculous not to hire you. I mean seriously.
Thank you.
You can go anywhere and people know who you are, and I've never been to a show with you where you've come off stage and people weren't just like, oh my God, that was great.
Oh, yeah. Chuck, you're so nice. Okay.
But yeah, so anyway, I do the gig, and Lee Morgan comes up to me afterwards. He goes, hey man, where do you work out? And I literally said, the Sporting Club.
Right. Because you thought he meant physically work out.
Physically work out. I have no idea what he was talking about.
Talking about what's your home club.
And so, you know, he was like, very funny, seriously, are you from New York? I was like, no, this is my first time.
Right.
And he was like, dude, you are really good. If that was your very first time, you are good.
Right.
I want to help you.
Right.
And
how come I never met Lee Morgan? And,
well, he's dead now.
I know.
Yeah. So unfortunately, he's passed, but he.
How old was he when he died?
Oh, man. He was about 26.
Oh, my God. From what? DRUGSs?
No. So Lee had this autoimmune disorder.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'll never forget, he spent the night over at my house once, and he had a huge C-shaped, like, gouge in his
right.
back. I said, what is that, man? And he was like, yeah. I have this disease where I catch infections and they get really bad very quickly. I caught an infection in my lymph node. They had to cut out right. half my back.
Oh, God.
Sounds like AIDS.
Yeah, it, well, it's like it. Sounds like it.
It's
but
called HIV.
It sounds like after it kicks in, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was just this weird disease he had. And, you know, anyway, he liked to smoke weed and he got
what?
A lung got a lung infection and died. Like in
from the weed?
Well, I don't know, but
no,
I don't think it'd have been from the weed. I think
but
the
he just
smoking,
got a
he got a lung infection.
Fuck.
He died in like 4 days. As a matter of fact, we were moving
in
to LA together.
Yes,
and moving
now
in with one another.
You were going to move to LA and fake that you were boyfriends.
Yes, because Lee knew these great places to live in West Hollywood.
West Hollywood, because it's so convenient, too.
So convenient. And at the time, it was before West Hollywood was all the rage, you know. And he says, hey, man, here's the thing. We can find an apartment. It'll be very cheap. But here's the deal. When we go on the go-sees, all right, you know, you got to be, you know, you're my girlfriend. And I went, really? And he says this right before we walk in the door. So I'm like, oh, okay. So then, anyway.
That's smart.
Yeah, right. He doesn't like to say anything. So we walk in, and the lady is sizing us up.
Right.
Right?
She's, now, is Lee black or white,
Lee
Jewish?
Lee was black.
Okay.
Lee was black. So she is sizing us up, looking at us. You know, Lee is extremely articulate and very well-dressed guy, you know. Mm-hmm. So was I, and we're talking to her, and we're not even talking about the apartment. We're just having a great
right.
time talking. And then she says, you know what? If you guys don't like this apartment, I have six other apartments
wow.
in this area. I really want to place you guys in a place. And if you have time tomorrow, we'll get together. We'll spend the day. We'll find you something by tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, that is so fantastic. Thank you so much, you know. So anyway, we part ways. And I walk out and I say to Lee, I'm like, oh, so I see the deal. Like, this is a gay area. And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I got a real problem though, man. And he's like, what is it? I'm like, why I got to be your girlfriend? Next time you
want to
be next
the
time
top.
You're going to be my girlfriend.
Right.
right.
You want to be the
I'm
top.
I'm the top in
yeah.
this relationship.
So the next day, did you go?
We signed the lease.
The following day,
she found us an apartment. We signed the lease. At the time, I had a little import company. I had to come home and take care of some business. While I was home, I got a call from a comedian I knew in L.A., and I thought it was a joke. And she said, Chuck, I'm really sorry to leave this on an answering service, but Lee Morgan is dead.
Oh, my God.
And I thought she was fucking around.
Right.
And I thought she was fucking around so much, and I'm so sorry that I did this to this day. I called Lee's mom, and I asked, "Is it possible that I could talk to Lee? He's not answering his phone." And she just started crying.
That is the worst.
Worst.
Do you talk to his mother still?
No, not anymore. I lost contact. She moved. His brother, I lost contact with him. He was in L.A., but I owe my entire career to Lee Morgan. I still to this day, you know, I thank God for Lee Morgan. Because when I didn't want to do stand-up, I was like, this is hard. Like, I was like, I don't have to do this.
Right.
I have a job. I have a company.
Right.
This is really fucked up. Like, because
right.
we would go to these hell gigs. Mm-hmm. And he would get gigs and then ask the booker if he could bring me. He's
That was so nice.
Yeah, he's like, yo, I got this guy, man. He's brand new, but he's totally cool. You don't have to pay him. He's hungry. He'll do it, and he's gonna blow the place up. I swear.
So what year was this?
Oh God, this was 90 what?
Six maybe.
95. Five. Four. Yeah, somewhere.
So you're not married.
I'm not married.
No kids.
No kids. No nothing.
So did you stay in the apartment?
No, I didn't. I couldn't bear to live there.
Right. Did you tell the landlord?
I didn't move to LA. Yeah, I called the landlord and I said Lee died, and she was like, "Oh my God!" Like, you know, at first she was like,
"Are you okay?"
Right? Like, what's going on? Like, you know, and of course she thinks that's my boyfriend,
right?
You know what I mean? So, you know, she was extremely compassionate, you know, and in a way he was my boyfriend because you know Lee was like my man. Yeah. You know what I mean? We had a real connection. We had a real relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, and he, like I said, he would take me around. And he introduced me to everybody. Right. Six months.
Was he funny?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
6 months after doing comedy, Lee Morgan, there was a woman named Sarah. Oh, what was Sarah's last name? I forget.
Silverman?
No. There you go.
Okay.
But Sarah was the booker for Showtime at the Apollo for the professional comedians.
Oh, okay.
So Lee had an audition at Stand Up New York.
Ugh. Remember when it was so
great? I remember when Stand Up.
And they actually had a bouncer.
Yeah, it was fun. But anyway, Lee had an audition to Stand Up New York and somehow got me on the audition. And I said, dude, why would you put me on an audition? You're going to get this. He was like, if I don't get this, I know they're going to pick you.
Damn,
that's a friend. That's very rare. You got it?
I got it.
Wow.
Did you touch the thing?
No, I didn't have to. I was a professional comedian.
Oh, you don't get to touch.
You don't have to touch the thing. That's only amateur. They just introduce you.
Who was the host?
I think it was Heavy D.
Oh my God! That's
yeah, I think it was.
So cool.
And they bought me out, and I killed it.
Right.
Killed it. And Lee was like,
I love that theater.
He was like, That's why I asked you to do this, man. That's why I put you on the thing.
He probably knew he was going to die.
I don't know. Maybe he did, and he just never let me in on that.
Yeah, I bet he did.
You know what? I never thought of that, but that could be.
I totally.
Yeah, that could be. Like, he thought he was going to die. But, yeah, anyway.
Or he knew. Yeah.
Yeah, he knew. Not thought, but he knew. But, yeah,
he passed his legacy on to you.
He
and
did.
You're still
I'm
spreading.
Still at
are
it.
Are you taking
awesome.
Notes on a paper bag?
No, these are your cues.
Okay, that's a paper bag. Like, you don't have...
I left it at home, but here.
We need to get you a whiteboard.
This is what I can't deal with this. Now, there's another man in your life that was, yes, I'm picking up the whistle.
Uh-oh.
Another man in your life that was very instrumental in your career, and his name is Cy Goldberg.
Oh, my God! Oh, I gotta take off my headphones. No, you didn't!
I did, bitches!
No, you didn't! Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. Judy Gold is the best. First of all, don't ever do any dirt and have somebody stick Judy on you because you are fucked. You are fucked, man. I can't believe you know about Cy Goldberg.
Cy Goldberg. Can you do Cy Goldberg for me? All right. I'll be Carrie Hoffman at Stand Up New York, and you do Cy Goldberg trying to get you work.
Don't we need a little backstory on this?
Well... I think that we can do the scene.
Okay, all right, great.
We'll figure it out.
Great.
Okay,
we'll
and people can figure out who Cy Goldberg is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
all right.
Okay, ready? Hello, Stand Up New York.
Carrie, how are you? Cy Goldberg here. How are you?
Cy, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Cy?
I'm calling about a young man.
Is this the closest you've been to a Jew without an appointment? I'm Carrie Hoffman at Stand Up New York.
Sing some Sinatra for me, Carrie. Sing some Sinatra, seriously.
New York.
Okay. So, what are you calling, Cy? I got a lot of people on the line.
So, I know you're looking for new talent, and I got this kid. His name is Chuck Nice. Uh-huh. He's amazing.
What's his name?
Chuck Nice. You got to take a look at him.
Chuck Nice?
Yeah, N-I-C-E. The kid is phenomenal. You're going to love him. I'm going to send him up there.
We have auditions on Monday.
Yeah, well, Monday is good. But listen, I know you're booked. And here's the thing. The reason why I'm calling is because I need you to see him. I don't want to send him up there and have him.
Where do you work?
Listen, why are you worried about me? You want to book me or you want to book Chuck Nice? This guy's the best, I'm trying to tell you, okay?
Where else has he worked?
Listen, the kid is everywhere. He's on the Philly circuit right now. Mm-hmm. I got references if you need them, but this is what I'm saying. When you're going to be at the club, I want to be able to send this kid in here. You give him 5 minutes, and if you don't like him, I'll never call you again, okay?
Okay, so what's your number?
Okay, here it is. 215. And boom. And guess what? Nice. That's what I did.
So that's how you got
work. That's how I got work. That's how, and guess what? Comedians.
I need Cy Goldberg right the fuck now.
I do too.
Cy Goldberg, ladies and gentlemen.
So you feel like. I can't believe you know about Cy Goldberg.
Cy Goldberg.
There's like eight people in the world that know about that.
She's a witch.
And you are amazing.
I'm a witch. But listen.
But listen, I got to tell you something. That was one of the best things I ever did. And the reason why. First of all, here's how naive I was to the business.
That's the best way to be naive, because you're fearless.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Really, all I was doing was a slight impersonation of Jerry, who was like the strongest guy I know.
Right.
And Jerry and my father were the only two men I knew who could call somebody and start the conversation with "fuck you."
Right.
And end up with a sale.
Right.
And so
It's all a sales job.
Yeah, and I didn't have those qualities, so I was like, well, if I call people, and so, by the way, Cy Goldman was a guy that we knew in the toy business. Right. And Cy was a friend of Jerry's. So I didn't want to say I was Jerry, because Jerry was a real guy. I didn't want to say I was Cy,
because
Cy was a real guy. So
Show up at clubs, would the bookers be like, where's Cy? Or I talked
to Cy? Sometimes they would.
And you know, what would you say?
And I'd say, well, you can call him. He doesn't, you know, Cy's the old guy. He's not coming out with me.
Right.
You know, but, you know, certainly call him after I'm done. Let him know how I did. I'd really appreciate it.
And at this point, not everyone had a cell phone. So
Listen, if the people didn't pick up the phone, you left a message.
Right.
And you left a message, and then Cy would call you back.
Right.
It would be great.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I got work because all I did, I didn't know any better.
Right.
I just didn't know any better. And I was like, I got to get work. And, you know, I would ask people, how do you get work? And they would say, you got to get an agent. That's what everybody would say to me. You got to get an agent. I'm like, well, how do you get an agent? They're like, yo, you get some work.
Right.
An agent will see you.
Right.
And I went, I'm never going to work. I'm never going to get anybody to get on board.
Do you think we could start a booking agency?
Oh, my God.
Oh, absolutely.
With Cy Goldberg.
Absolutely.
And you could, and you can take a percentage of everything?
Are you kidding me? That would be great. I'd love it.
This episode isn't going up. Then,
well, we can change the name.
Exactly.
And they don't have to be Jewish.
So, and no, they don't. And listen, Donald Trump did it.
Right. That's what I said. You and Donald are very close.
Yeah, Trump did that, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? As a PR person.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You know?
And but he didn't change his voice. That's the thing.
No, he didn't change his voice. He was a dummy.
Right. Oh, really? I think he's really smart. But you think he's dumb?
Really?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. I fucking hate that guy so much.
Well, you know why? Here's why you hate him. Because you're a smart person.
Fucking the trashiest, dumbest, the lowest common denominator.
Because you don't fall for confidence, men. That's why.
Oh, and it's there's nothing to back it up.
It's the biggest
con
job.
That's why I love those fucking statues. Because he has objectified women his entire life, and then someone puts a statue out of what he would look like naked, and it's disgusting, and it's this, and it's that. Fuck you. You fucking judge everyone on the way they look or how much money they have.
Absolutely.
You piece of shit.
Boom.
Can someone clip that out and send it to him? Thank you.
Oh, he hears it every
day. He's hateful.
And
he
doesn't care, though.
And he doesn't care about
it. He doesn't care.
You know, like, you can hate Hillary. I know a lot of people hate Hillary.
Yeah.
But you know what? She's a public servant. She's a public servant. She's been a public servant her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
She serves the public. Everyone has lies. Everyone has.
Oh, yeah.
She has spent her life as a public. The Clinton Foundation is not to make them money. None of them get a salary.
That's to
help other people. You fucking idiots. Read a fucking. And you know what? He's an addict. This is what I've decided. I'm tweeting this, twatting it today. But he is an addict. He's addicted to publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And the media is the enabler.
Oh, my God. The media is one big, giant
enabler.
Hypodermic syringe shoved into his vein.
Right.
Just constantly pumping him full of the juice that makes him run.
Right.
Which is attention.
Right.
That's all he wants. I don't think he ever thought he would get this far.
Right.
I don't think he would.
You did do drugs and then stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact.
What was the worst?
I don't say this often.
Right.
But to anybody listening, I don't say this on my own show. But I'll be honest. Whenever anyone asks me about it, I feel it's very important for me to be 100% honest about it.
Yeah,
I have struggled with cocaine usage for many years.
Right.
I did it in secret, secretly struggling.
Right.
People thinking I was a party guy, you know, when really I was this self-hating addict.
Well, hello, stand-up comedy!
The funnier you are, the more fucked up
self-hating.
You are.
I mean, that's hello. All right, yeah.
Yeah, and so
prerequisite.
You know, here it is that people, you know, people thought.
This really is a visual show.
We need to start taping the show.
You got to. The two of you have to be on camera, make faces. The looks that you are shooting and the responses. It's a whole show within the show.
Sorry.
It's beautiful.
All right, go ahead.
But no, I was, you know, here everybody think I have, I'm a party guy. Like that guy goes hard. You know what I mean? He gets drunk and he's like, he's a party. He's crazy and this. And really, I was an addict.
Right.
You know, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know that you could reach out for help. And it was my wife that actually got me to get some help and, you know, who kept me from falling down that rabbit hole and self-destructing, you know. And to this day, I think of myself as an addict. I don't think of myself as somebody who overcame a cocaine addiction because I'm always in danger. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're always in danger of relapsing and falling back. Mm-hmm. And so I try my best to just.
So
you know,
do you freak out if you see like a powdered donut at Dunkin' Donuts?
If the powder's on the table, yes.
Right. Okay.
If the powder's on the donut, I'm fine. If some of that powder flakes off on the table, I'm like, oh, God. I'm a little itchy.
I'll be on the donut. You can get the powder.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you get married. You have kids.
Yeah.
Did you stop doing the coke before the kids?
No.
After the kids?
To be honest, I was still doing coke when my daughter was born.
And daughter, the eldest?
The eldest, who is 16 now.
Okay.
And I was still, you know, really I've been good, you know, I don't call myself clean and sober because I still drink.
And you smell.
And I smell.
Right.
I was hoping it wasn't noticeable.
I know. Yeah, actually. Oh, actually,
yeah,
Charles.
I know. It's called. Right. It's called. Yeah. It's called oils, Chuck.
Right.
Try them, because a shower won't help you. But no. You know, probably up until she was about 7, 8, I was still like dipping
Didn't
in and out.
Did you feel guilty?
I felt more than guilty.
Yeah. I bet.
So here's the thing that's so weird. So you get depressed, and you're like, okay, I'm going to get high, and that's going to make me feel better.
Right.
And then you get high, and you feel worse than you ever felt.
Right.
And then feeling worse, you like, I'm never doing that again.
Right.
And then
you feel bad again.
You feel bad again.
Yeah.
And you're like, I got to get high.
Right.
And I went through that madness for a while. And then finally I started like, you know, I did like 90 meetings in 90 days and that whole thing.
Right.
And I, you know, started going to Cocaine Anonymous.
Right.
And matter of fact, I was at a meeting day before yesterday with a buddy of mine who just happened to say, I'm going to a meeting. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. I haven't been to a meeting in a long time.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to go to a meeting. And then I got to the meeting and I heard the story of a guy who had been like clean and sober for 28 years. And went back out and he went on a weekend bender and he was all fucked up, and he was like, and now it's like I'm back, and I feel like I'm starting all over again,
right.
And it's even harder. And I went, dude,
I can't have that happen to me.
And I said to my friend, I was like, dude, God had you call me, so that I could say,
Lee Morgan,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I was like, so that I could say, let me go to a meeting,
yeah.
Like I said that just for no reason. And I heard that and I was like, you know what, dude, I think I'm going to start like, you know, getting back to the work of it. Because here's the thing. I'm going to be very honest. I don't want to turn this into like an AA meeting. I'm sorry. But that's, you cannot do the
My
drug.
My name is Judy.
Keep coming back.
What
Judy.
Am I an addict of?
Oh, lots of things.
I am?
Well, you're probably a CODA.
What's a CODA?
Codependent.
Codependent.
Anonymous. They have meetings.
I'm not codependent.
Yeah, you are totally not codependent.
What are you fucking talking about? Only with my kids, I can't take.
No, I just think
we're all codependent when it comes to the babies.
I go to CODA meetings, and I feel like you would benefit from them. That's all.
Oh,
CODA.
Yeah, it's like, nice. It's nice.
That's like a piano lesson
or a bear CODA meeting.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
So yeah.
Wait a minute. Codependent on what? Who am I Cody on?
No. It's just the meetings are a desire for healthy relationships, and I feel like you and I have shared some similar things in our relationship.
Okay, I'm 20 years older than you.
Yes, you
Wait,
are.
How old are you?
32.
Okay, I'm 21 years older than you.
Yes,
you really are. Probably 21 and a half.
Whatever.
And so I have 21 years on you. Okay, go.
Still hot.
But anyway, I just felt like, you know, it's something that you can not do, and it's still a problem.
Right.
So what I've realized now is like, whatever led me to this in the first place, mm-hmm. I never ever dealt with that, to be honest.
Right.
I just
do you go to therapy?
I stopped going to therapy. I hated my therapist.
You got to get a good therapist.
Well, you know, I agree.
Yeah.
With the good therapist thing.
Yeah.
And the one I had, this guy, oh, he made me so, like, I would leave therapy and I'd be so fucking pissed off.
No, you can't.
And I was like, I want to go back in there right now and tell that guy, you know what?
Fuck
you. I'm pissed. You didn't do a fucking thing for me.
Right.
I feel like shit and when I came in here. I feel like shit right now. You're taking this money from me.
God
You're like
damn
a
it!
Fucking hooker. Every time I'm here, it's just
What's
like.
What's the last name of the therapist?
Oh, I don't want to say. And he's not Jewish.
You had
the whistle going, but he's not Jewish.
All right.
There's your
anyway,
problem.
Long story short, I had told him that I didn't think that this was helping me. And he was like, well, you know what you can do to make sure this helps you? And I was like, what? He was like, continue to come. And I never.
Oh, go fuck yourself. There's so many shitty therapists.
Yes. Sounds like a Scientologist.
It's like I could never do that to someone. If I knew that I wasn't helping them, I'd be like, you gotta fucking.
Yeah, I had very good insurance at the time. So he was like, this guy's a golden goose, baby.
Now,
that's one thing. You do go out of your way to help people that don't want to help themselves sometimes. And you are very. Look, that's all I was saying.
What, that I go out of my way to help people?
Yeah. And you also have self-hate, but you're a good comic. So that makes sense, too. That's all these things CODA is good for. I just wanted to put that out.
All right. But I'm not. I know what I hate about myself.
Yeah. No, you're very self-aware.
Right.
That has nothing to do with it.
And I'm in therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
you're good. I learn a lot from you.
We try to discuss with our guests. I mean, my guest, and then I have a co-host, is what pisses you off. Because
cool.
I am constantly pissed off, as you know.
Yes.
And you were just really pissed off. So that made me, like,
Anger's a good thing.
Anger's, and to get it out is so important. And they say rage is sadness that was never dealt with.
Mm. That makes sense.
Right. And...
That was deep. That affected me. It resonated.
All right. I get angry at, like, I people fucking piss me off so much. And, like, just riding my bike here. And it's like, you know what? You don't have to fucking cut me off because you're in a fucking car. Like, what the fuck is your motherfucking problem?
Yeah.
So what is it? Is there one thing, or are there many things?
There's a lot of things.
What pisses you? What makes your fucking blood boil?
You know, the thing that I'm trying to work on, because I feel as though it makes me a bad person. I have one prejudice that I really need to work on, and it's when I think somebody is stupid.
Oh, you don't have to work on that. You don't. Because they are fucking stupid.
When I feel like somebody's stupid, I feel like a terrible person because I just don't
you
want anything
them.
To do
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, you have to dismiss
like,
them.
It's like you're no longer, somehow I have X'd you out of the human race.
Right.
Like, you don't matter. Like, over there with you, I'm done.
It's
like,
the difference, but they're stupid and nice. And then they're stupid and mean.
Yeah, well, stupid and nice, I feel as though at least you're smart enough to know that you need some redeeming quality.
Right.
You're willing to learn more.
Right. And if you're a nice person, you probably are willing to learn more. You're probably not stupid. You're more ignorant than you are anything else.
Right.
And ignorance is okay because I'm ignorant of many things.
Right.
But I'm on a quest to reduce that ignorance
right,
to the smallest
on a daily basis. Right, right.
Okay? To the smallest fraction possible. I can't stand people who just hold on to ignorance as if it were some type of pacifier or security blanket.
Right, right,
or
right.
Like, just go fucking die. I'm sorry I said
now
that.
Now I hear it, baby!
Amen.
Yeah! I totally agree.
Like, seriously, why don't you get the fuck out of here so that we can get on with the business of making this world a better place?
Right. I agree, and I feel that when people use a book or some quotes and that, right. You know, well, I can't do that because this one told me this or that one said that. Or
yeah.
No, you... People who don't think for themselves,
right?
That fucking don't give me some goddamn like quote from the Bible or
right.
quote from this one or
right.
quote, you know, have a fucking opinion and
right.
an informed opinion.
Informed, and I'll give you for instance. It's so funny. So Hennessy sent me an email,
right?
Okay, and in the email, it said, "I am by the way, straight." Transgender male.
Right.
Right. And I appreciated that. You
right.
know what I mean? Because it was like, you're letting me
is
in.
Is that why you didn't CC me on the email?
I did CC you.
Oh.
There you go.
Go ahead.
So anyway, the cool thing was, I, on the way here, I said to my wife, like, oh, I really appreciated that. Like, you know, he gave me a heads up
right.
just in case. One, it shows like, yo, man, this is who I am.
Right.
All right. So just... Give me
right.
a heads up.
Right.
And two, it shows the confidence in me
right.
to be able to deal and accept that. Not
right.
even deal with it, even though I understand
right.
that some people gotta deal with shit.
Right.
I'm beyond that. I'm like, it's time for you to start accepting some shit.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And so my wife and I got into a conversation and I said, I don't think that it's my place to judge how somebody lives their truth.
Right.
And it really pisses me the fuck off that there are people who actually want to tell you
how you fucking feel. I know.
How you are on the inside.
Right, right.
What your life experience
right, right.
is. What you have been through.
Right.
Oh, you were there, fucker?
Yeah.
You were there when I was 6 years old?
Right.
You were there when I was five and I felt the way I fucking feel right,
right
now my
right.
entire
God
life?
Damn
you
it!
Were there?
What?
You're going to tell me how I feel?
Right.
And it burns me up.
Oh, my God. My mother used to say that. It burns me up, Judith.
Yeah.
It just burns me up.
Burns me up.
That, I, it's
so,
true.
You know, so
don't
that,
tell me what I know.
Right.
You know?
Right. And so it really, that is something that pisses
would,
me
if
off.
You had,
and by the way, let me just
yeah.
finish with that. Nor do you have to understand somebody's truth.
Right.
In order
to
allow them to live their truth
right.
and accept their truth.
Right, right.
You don't have to understand it. And I would much rather have somebody say, you know what? I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. But
you're a good person.
At the same
yeah.
time, you know, maybe one day I will.
Right.
Until then, I accept it.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
First person to ever come out to me was a very good friend of mine. And I did not understand it. I was in my teen years.
Right.
And he said to me, hey, man, I just got to tell you this because I don't know anybody else that I can tell. But I feel like if I tell you,
right,
like you're going to have the right response.
Right.
And I was like, you can tell me anything. And he said, I'm gay. And I went, well, what does that really mean? I was like, so what's that really mean? You know, because back then, you called people gay when they just did something you didn't
That's
want to.
That's why I can't
then.
Stand this new queer word. Because
yeah.
queer was like, you know, you're a nerd.
Right. Queer
yeah.
meant nerd. It
yeah.
didn't mean like you were a homosexual.
Right.
Well,
now we
I mean?
Got to do this fucking shit. I'm sick of you people changing the fucking words.
Well, queer is now an umbrella term for basically
right.
I'll
everything,
give you a
right,
fucking
right.
umbrella.
So
go
anyway,
ahead.
I said to him...
Don't threaten me with a good time.
So I said to him, well, I don't understand.
Right.
And this is what he said to me. Do you know how you feel about women?
Right.
And I said, yes. He said, when did you know you felt that way? And I said, I don't know. I guess I always felt that way.
Right.
He said, that's how I feel about men. And I went, oh, shit, I understand.
And then did you run away?
No, we had love. We made love and that was it. No, no, I didn't run away. You know, we're still friends to this
day. And just sucked his dick real quick.
Yeah, sucked his dick and then that was it. You
oh,
know,
my God.
And
then we were good. Was it big?
Huge and veiny. No, so yeah. All but,
right.
You know, that burns me up. That burns.
Oh, God. With her smile. Oh, wait, that's someone at my door. Hold on. Wait a minute.
I thought that was my friend.
Hello?
Who came out to me calling.
Hello? Hello?
You can turn the world on. Thanks, Chuck.
That's his ringtone.
Yeah, that's his ringtone.
Here we go. Okay, just let him in. I think it's the FedEx guy. Now,
oh, that's cool. You got that thing where you can
yes!
You can control your house
yes!
from your phone.
Like my son got someone called Henry in Indiana. And he calls me the other day. He's like, your dry cleaning's downstairs. I'm like, well, can't you fucking let them in? I forgot, because he's always stoned. All right, now.
Okay.
Wait.
Judy's just looking at her text message.
Yes.
All right. I'm just looking because, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Now, Chuck, have you ever worn anything made by Mack Weldon?
As a matter of fact, I have.
Really?
I have two pair of Mack Weldon boxer briefs at home right now.
And they're good, right?
They're actually very good. Here's what I like about them, to be honest. They do not ride up.
Right.
So
Thank you.
I love boxer briefs because I like, you know, I like that feeling of like the shorts
instead of
the cut of the briefs.
Did you feel like you need a garter for them almost?
Yes, you do, because you're constantly, when you wear boxer briefs, what you constantly do is you reach in your pocket. You grab the edge of your undershorts and you pull
it
down.
I know Ben does that, but now he's got the boxer shorts type of things.
So so I wear them because they have like these nice little reinforced bands around the thigh,
right?
And they don't ride up, and they're very comfortable. I like Mack Weldon.
It's like a second skin.
I love it, and the fabric is really good.
Absolutely.
And so I heard it's good on the balls. That's what I heard.
Well, you know, my balls are particularly swampy. So, you know, it's good that they are.
Can you show me right now?
No, Mack Weldon actually, two things. One, comfort. And two,
quality.
The quality is good. Yeah. And they look good.
They look good.
And their t-shirts are great. I wear the t-shirts.
Oh, my God. So that, you know what? I forgot about that. I have a Mack Weldon green V-neck.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I wear it not as an undershirt.
I wear it
as an actual shirt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Throw a blazer on top of it if I'm,
So.
Why do you ask?
Well, I just want everyone to know that I actually, if they go to MackWeldon.com and what's our code?
We use code KILLME.
Code KILLME.
You'll get 20%.
20% off.
Off your first order.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
You can try them out, and if you don't like it, send it back, and they'll give you your money back. So
but you're not,
lose.
You're going
to
love it anyway.
Yeah, you will.
And they're good because they're made with silver, so you don't smell.
So yeah, one of the lines is woven with silver, which is like a natural deodorant.
Right.
What's my name?
Judy
Gold.
There you go.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now, we always ask our guests this.
Yes.
You smell good, too.
We always ask our guests this.
Go ahead.
I have no idea what the answer to this is. Do you?
Oh, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I think no, too.
No? To what?
Are you on any antidepressants?
No, no.
All right.
No.
All right. I knew it.
Once in my life.
Once in my life. Sorry.
I can't do a harmonica.
Once in my life, I went to a doctor who told me that I should be on antidepressants, that they would even me out.
Right.
And I forgot what I took, what it was, but I hated it.
Right.
I got off of it without telling him. I had a psychotic episode.
Yes, they're bad. You can't do
and
that.
And I never, ever just, that was it.
Yeah, but you can't just go off. I know.
It's a trip.
It was a real trip.
Do you remember what you were on?
Oh, no.
Because it changes the chemistry in your brain.
It does. Mm-hmm. And then when you get off of it, your brain doesn't know what to do.
Right.
And it starts producing all these other crazy chemicals.
Right.
And I went nuts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember drinking almost an entire fifth of vodka because of what it did to me.
Right. Mm.
And I was feeling suicidal because I wasn't on the pit. And, but anyway,
yeah,
you got it slowly. Yeah,
yeah,
you got to wean off, but I didn't know that.
But we're very pro medication or whatever it takes.
I'm very pro medication if it works for you. So now, you know, so what I did after that was I wanted to do cognitive therapy,
I did CBT, baby!
Yeah, so.
It's so good, isn't it?
It is. And you know what?
Gives you tools. Tools.
And
tool belt. Lesbian tool belt.
And that's my next thing is cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah, it's so good. And meditation.
It is.
You know, that's something I got to start doing. Is meditating.
I told Fugelsang I would meditate with him and teach him how to meditate. But then, you know, he's always like, you know, every time we have a date.
Can we please record that?
What?
You and Fugelsang's meditation sesh.
Oh, that would be kind of cool.
No, I don't. No.
Just put a camera up.
It's so boring.
I'll edit it together.
All you do is breathe. No, you're not editing. Go ahead. It's really helpful. And on days I don't meditate, I could totally feel it like today. Chuck, I miss you.
I miss seeing you
at World's Dumbest.
I know.
Wasn't
we used to run into each other
gig?
All the time. That was a great gig.
And now there's another show. Now they've taken that idea.
And yeah.
You know what I hate is that they replay them over and over and over and we get no money.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And people think you're getting paid, but you're
right.
not.
I know.
You know, because it's cable.
Right.
Basic cable.
Also, Chuck has a podcast. I just want to mention it again.
On play.shit.
On play.shit.
Yeah,
our network,
nice,
play.it. What
it's
up,
called
CBS?
Nice Advice.
Yeah.
Nice it's advice. On iTunes and play.shit.
Right.
It's
shit.
A great show. He
Thanks.
Takes advice from advice columns and various sources, right? And
yep.
then gives you the right advice.
Yeah. So we read.
How do you
feel
about having a guest named Judy? Oh, God. Shut up. It's Henry.
I want you on the show. As a matter of fact, we were going to try and do one while we were here together.
Oh,
but
all right.
I have to get to work.
Wait, where are you going?
I'm 10 minutes late to work. You know. No,
you have
another
job.
So I have another job. I work with Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I know, you fucking asshole.
I was at a
you
live.
You hoe.
I was at a live taping the last show you guys recorded, the marijuana one.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, I was right there.
At the planetarium.
I'm a little jealous.
Great.
I'm a little jelly about that.
I can get you tickets. I know.
I love Neil.
He's great.
Oh, God, he's such a great guy.
He's amazing. And so smart.
And smart is not the word. I hang out with this guy, and it's like a master class. Like,
right.
He is. And he is not only smart about astrophysics, which is kind of a redundancy.
Right.
He's smart about astrophysics, as opposed to the dumbass
he's
who knows all about
Asperger-y.
Astrophysics.
He's so not,
no.
He so can deal,
super,
you know.
He's a little Asperger-y, but that's why I like him.
No,
it's endearing.
He's can relate to people. He knows
how
to communicate.
Yeah. Very sociable.
Yeah.
And loves wine and always.
Oh, I need to go out with you.
Always
guys.
Has a great bottle of wine in his office,
it's
and
so
I
great.
Go up to his office and we sit.
When do I get to meet?
Anytime you want.
You should do the show.
You think he'd do our Kill Me Now show?
No, he's got right now on his calendar 400 requests.
Oh, we'll wait a few years.
Fuck him. I hate him.
Wait a few years.
All right.
Neil.
Yeah, but yes,
you
actually.
Get there, hang out with cats, and I have a battle of wine with him. All right, listen.
Oh my God, this has been so much fun.
Chuck, you have to come back.
I will.
All right.
Are you kidding me?
You can talk like
you
that.
You are the best at finding out the most obscure information on your guest.
I love that.
I am so impressed. I cannot.
Thank you.
I can't believe you knew about Lee Morgan.
Oh, yeah. I read a lot about Lee Morgan. I feel
amazing.
Bad about Lee Morgan.
Amazing.
She's a witch.
She's a witch.
But I love you, Chuck. Good
I love
luck.
You, too.
And you're on Tweetar.
Of course. At Chuck Nice Comic. Please hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah, hit you up, bitches.
Hit me up, bitches.
And I'm coming on your fucking show.
Yes, you are. I can't wait to have you on the show.
All
because
right.
I don't really answer the
right.
questions. The guest does.
Right.
And so the idea is for you to just tell these people the real deal.
And I'm very
perfect.
Happy to do that.
You know,
I'm
not sure if you could do it, though.
Shut the fuck up. thank you so much for being on Kill Me Now. I'm Judy Gold. God, I can't. Anyway.
No, we're on track now, right?
Yeah, we're on track.
On track now?
Yeah.
This is our producer, Patrick, who produces.
Patrick is great.
Hey. Nice advice and Kill Me Now.
Yeah.
We love Patrick.
Corey 1 was Friday. Corey 2 went up today.
That sucks that Corey won only lasted four days.
No, that it didn't last only four days.
We're still there.
Go back and listen to Corey
won. Shut the fuck up. Anyway.
Lots of people are listening to that now.
I am going to be at the Emlyn Theater on the 24th and 25th, which is Henry's birthday, who just fucking called me. And that's it. I don't know what else to tell you. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Chuck Nice.
That's a pleasure.
Yes. And as always, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.